Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
As we continue to navigate our way through Holy Week and approach the celebration of Resurrection Sunday, we wanted to first unpack the significance in the events of Good Friday, the day that Christ paid the ultimate price through a substitutionary death on a cross for you and for me. Our special guest to help us reflect on and observe these life-changing events is the founder and president of the Truth Broadcasting Network that has radio stations across North Carolina, Central Iowa, and Salt Lake City. Truth Network also develops and syndicates programs on over 300 affiliates nationwide. Our guest is also the host of Truth Talk Live. He's the author of two books titled First Words of Jesus, and the book we'll be unpacking today, Last Words of Jesus. Our guest lives in Winston-Salem, North Carolina with his wife Julie, and together they have four wonderful daughters. Our special guest joining us is a dear friend and a man who is unashamed of the gospel. Joining us today is Stu Epperson Jr. Stu, thank you so much for joining us, my friend.
It's an honor to be here, Zach. God bless you, man, and happy Holy Week.
This week, I'm pleased to say that Easter will be celebrated in over 95 countries, and over 200 million Americans will acknowledge and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In my opinion, it's the most important days of human history and of our Christian faith. This week is also the conclusion of what we would call a Lent season or a Lent period, better known as a time of fasting, prayer, and reflection on the sacrifice made for you and for me. That being said, Stu, before we dive into just a lot of the scenes, a lot of the significance of these events, I want to ask, what are some maybe holiday traditions that the Eppersons host during this kind of Easter season?
Well, this is my absolute favorite time of year. It really is. I love the holiday. I love Easter. I love resurrection. I tell everyone to say happy resurrection instead of happy Easter, because it kind of gives you that kind of like, whoa, what do you say? What does that mean? It's a bigger, clunkier word, but man, you and I know how rich that is, right? And so Because that tomb is empty, our lives can be full of Jesus. And so we do all kinds of things. I find myself trying to go to a Good Friday service. And my brother-in-law is a pastor in Florida. We'll go down to his church sometimes. And I love doing that with family. We just love hanging out with family. We love having, you know, since I wrote this book that ties into Holy Week and Good Friday and all these things, I find myself talking to a lot of friends like you, sharing some of the insights of these words of Christ from the cross. This is just arguably the most profound moment in history, where the Savior went in to absolute torture, went into the ultimate rescue mission, the climax of the rescue mission. He came to seek and save the lost. He did it his whole life, right? In his birth, his life, his perfect life, his death, burial, resurrection. But we find that all coming to a head in Holy Week. So We do a lot of things. We love being together as family. And I try to get it into as many services and radio shows and programs like this that I can, just to listen and just to sponge it in and just to thank God for what he's done for us.
Amen, Stu. You know, that's something that our family does as well. A lot of traditions. We love going to church, surrounding ourselves with community, with family during this time to reflect on, but also to celebrate all that God has done for us. We throw in a few Easter eggs as well, I'm not going to lie. We paint quite a few. We got some candy. You know that. Come on, Stu. But hey, just a few days ago, Stu, we were reflecting on Palm Sunday and how Jesus rode on the back of a donkey through the streets of Jerusalem, being met by the crowds who were lining the streets with palm branches, shouting the words of praise, such as, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." But then, Stu, just a few days later, whether it's the same crowd or whether it's a different crowd, people in the shouts shifted from Hosanna to crucify him. some of our listeners, Stu, may not understand as to why there was a shift in the narrative. Could you give them just a little backstory of some of the events that took place during this week that may have shifted those shouts?
Yeah, the same word, Hosanna, has some of the same roots as Yeshua, which means, you know, God is our salvation. Hosanna is a cry, God, save us now. These palm branches were thrown out. They were ready for the king to come. They were ready for the Messiah to come, right, to overthrow Rome. And here Christ comes in on a colt and to fulfill all these great prophecies. You know, the great prophets had prophesied that the king would come on a colt, but he came in peace. He didn't come to conquer Rome and overthrow the regime and set up a military leadership. He came to conquer sin, and he came to bring peace as the Prince of Peace. So this was counterintuitive to what they expected. And so by the time he gets there, by the time he turns the tables over, by the time he starts teaching in the temple, telling these amazing, prophetic, apocalyptic stories of how the king will come and the king will reign, right? And when all the word of God is spread, when this gospel goes to all the world, then the end will come. Matthew 24:14, all these rich prophecies. He teaches, he's with his disciples in the upper room and all these things. So it goes from this big welcome party where he says, hey, look, if these little ones don't holler out Hosanna, if these little ones don't praise me, the stones will cry out and praise me. And he created all of that, right? He created our voices. He created everything in our anatomy to sing praise to him. But hey, even the stones and the rocks that he created and the trees will sing praise to him if we don't. And that's how, but the week started that way in this glorious fashion on Palm Sunday. But it got a lot worse. It got a lot darker. And there were a lot of his followers and disciples and people that he healed along the way. Probably Zacchaeus was in that whole crowd, wishing him and praising him as he came in. But it turned, and then a lot of those that hated him, the religious leaders and those that went out, sought out to kill him, were there to holler, crucify him. We want Barabbas. And we have no king but Caesar.
It's powerful to think about just the grace and the forgiveness of Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Stu, you know, I believe that's representative not of all of those individuals that were mocking Jesus on that day and spitting at him and making fun of him and laughing at him and humiliating him and crucifying him, but also each and every one of us. Speak to that for a moment about the significance of who was Jesus really forgiving on that day.
Wow, that prayer was like a tsunami from the cross that we see absolutely going out over generations, generations. So yeah, it was those people right there. Sure, I mean, that's kind of the obvious thing, right? But maybe he's praying forgiveness for those disciples. Where were they? You know, only one of them, John, was there on the scene. The rest of them were wheels up, man. They were out of there because they knew there were 12 other crosses ready and set up for them as well. You know, was the prayer for those? Hey, not maybe 3-4 months after this at Pentecost, where 3,000 souls trusted Christ miraculously. The Holy Spirit came down. Prayer forgiveness for them. Many of those were in the crowd saying, crucify him, that said, hey, I want Jesus. I want to follow him. They heard Peter's words, repent, follow Jesus, believe, have your sins forgiven, have your sins washed away. The prayer for the apostle, you know, Paul, who was Saul, who was murdering Christians, right? He murdered Stephen, Acts 7. Suddenly, he becomes the greatest missionary. He goes from a murderer to a missionary to a martyr. You know, so and then all the way down the line to these two guys right now talking. Hey, that prayer was for us. Thank God we're forgiven, right? What would we be in him? Colossians 1, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And those who are forgiven are those who are forgiving. And so we need that first statement from the cross. Why? Because, hey, there's all kinds of people we need to be forgiving. And as soon as we're stuck there, there's one place we're going to go to get unstuck, and that is the cross of Christ and the words of our Savior, because he died to give us the power to forgive. And that therein is freedom.
It's powerful to think about, like you said, just the forgiveness of Christ and how, in a sense, undeserving we are, because I think all of those things, his grace, his love, his forgiveness are things that we could never earn, Stu, but yet he freely gives them to us. There's another unique scene as Jesus hung there on the cross that day that I want to bring up today, because you talk about it in your book, and it's how he was actually crucified between two thieves. One of the thieves, really both of the thieves, started out by not saying the nicest of things to Jesus. And one of those things spent his final words just mocking him and making fun of him and humiliating him like everybody else. But the other thieves, Stu, saw something different in the person of Christ. Could you help us understand just what took place during that scene for that lowly thief that last day?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, they both were pounding on Christ. They both were hurling insults and blasphemy. It says that in the scripture. It says they were both, you know, going at him and hurling out insults. They threw right in with the crowd, but something did change. Something did shift. And, you know, it's interesting. It happened right after that prayer. You know, you ask me about, hey, who was that prayer of forgiveness? You know, who, you know, Father, forgive them. Who are they, right? Well, hey, let me tell you, there was a shotgun. There's a shotgun answer to that prayer, right? That prayer of forgiveness went out all the way to us, you know, here today, right? But there was also a rifle shot, and the rifle shot was just a few feet away, just a few feet away. That man heard the Savior, the Lord of forgiveness, the Lord of light, cry out for, you know, to offer forgiveness and pray to his Father to forgive these all around him. And something changed in him to the point where he rebuked his partner in crime. Both men were terrorists. In the Greek, the word thief means terrorist. I mean, these guys were bad dudes, okay? And they were up there on either side of Christ. And they, the words of this second thief who called to Jesus and gave the greatest sinner's, you know, a prayer that we've ever heard. You know, that was, you know, he didn't have the four spiritual laws. He didn't have the great resources we have. You know, he didn't have these great evangelists to come alongside. He hadn't been to a Billy Graham crusade, never been to seminary school. He was messed up, and he was literally inches away from hell. He was literally just a few breaths away from burning in hell forever, just like his partner in crime. He says, hey, he's not guilty of being up here. What we are paying, rightfully paying for our sins, but not him. And he turns to Jesus and he says, Lord, Is there a greater word? Suddenly, like, he recognizes the lordship of Christ. He says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So these words are really significant, and they were significant to this man's salvation. He said, remember me when, not if. He knew, he banked on it, that Christ was going to come and conquer death and come into his kingdom. He says, when you come into your kingdom. Hey, no vetting, no pre-processing of this guy. You know, no going through TSA lines or anything. This guy was saved. And Jesus said, he said, today, immediately today, you will be with me in paradise. And isn't that the beautiful, isn't that the greatest? Those two words are the greatest words of the Christian life. Be with me. He's not calling us to go do for him. We got a bunch of human doings out there, don't we, Zach? He's saying, he said to the thief these great words, you will be with me. Because what is heaven? What is eternal life? John 17:3, Christ prayed it the night before. He says, this is eternal life. It is knowing me. It is being with him. It is fellowship with him in eternity. Because when you know him, you become like him. And of course, you want to live with him and follow him. But it's life with Jesus. And this guy, I love what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said. Our Lord's last companion on earth was his first companion through the gates of heaven.
Wow. Come on, Stu. It's amazing just to think about all of these scenes that took place on the cross, and how you said it was one of the best pulpits of all time, if not the greatest pulpit of all time, was a Roman rugged cross. Stu, as you mentioned, you know, we call this day Good Friday, but in reality, it didn't look very good at all. For the followers of Christ, it looked like the worst day in human history. But then, as we know, as Jesus voiced and concluded his last words on that cross, it is finished. He wasn't saying that as a declaration of defeat, but more so a proclamation of victory, because then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, not only defeating sin, but defeating death so that we would have the opportunity of spending eternal life with him. Stu, you've mentioned it a couple of times, but I want to make sure we drive this home, because for every listener out there, this is the most important thing, the most important decision you could possibly make in your entire life. And so I want you just to give us one more time to every listener out there who wants to spend eternal life in the presence of Christ, who wants to be in paradise with him as that lowly thief on that wooden cross. What do they have to do? Is it something that they can earn? Is it something that they can do to work their way up? Or what is it that they have to do? What are the ingredients, Stu?
Well, I'm going to use one word that you know a lot about: performance. You are only saved by good works. But let me clarify that. You're saved by the good works, the good performance of one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is, let's talk about March Madness for a second, okay? Because it, ironically, that's kind of hitting right where, you know, resurrection is hitting, you know? So, and it's, let's just get the elephant out of the room, right? So here you have all these teams geared up. So it all leads to the big Final Four and then the championship game, which everyone, that is the greatest performance. That's the highest rated event. Well, Jesus Christ played the perfect season. Unlike these teams that struggle and drop a game or, you know, someone gets injured or there's always something that goes right or they get to the final time, they kind of choke. Jesus Christ never choked. Jesus Christ lived the perfect life. At his baptism, he said, suffer this, do this, John, baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. Everything was perfect. We are not just saved by his death, resurrection. We're saved by his perfect life. His life imputed to us, which is, it was a big theological word that means his life is applied to us. God gives us the righteous life of Jesus, right? And he puts our sin on Christ and Christ pays for our sin. So now he sees us as sons and not as those condemned, but those redeemed and those atoned for. So Jesus Christ performed perfectly. And then here we are in the March Madness is like Holy Week. You know, the final four, the final one, and Christ wins it all, performs perfectly. And that is the greatest closing statement of all time. It is finished. And because Jesus Christ said it is finished, that means we are not finished. He ain't done with us. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete that work in you until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the closer. He did it perfectly. So everyone, connect with Jesus Christ. And it's beautiful. It's in my book. You know, there's three words to spell. There's religion is spelled do, right? You got to earn. In 99% of the people you talk to, if you were standing before God today, why is she letting you out of heaven? Because I did, you know? And then the second word is don't, D-O-N-T, right? Well, don't drink, don't smoke, and don't go with girls that do, like we were told growing up. You know, don't do this, don't eat this and this. You know, every religion has do's and don'ts. The gospel is just completely, infinitely unique, unlike any other belief system in the world. That's why it's so miraculous. And the gospel says, D-O-N-E, done. It is done. Jesus said, it is finished. John 19:30, the giant curtain in the temple split wide open. He gave us full access by the blood of Jesus into the Holy of Holies, the book of Hebrews tells us. And this is the work that he did for you. So what do? We trust. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, not behaves for him, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So Christ from the cross is calling you to believe. He went to that cross to pay the debt you could not pay. So you're going to pay for your sin now. I just told this to a bunch of ballers yesterday playing ball. You're going to pay for your sin on this earth and for eternity in hell. Or you have two options. That's one. Number two, you are going to let the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, the substitution of Christ on that cross, pay for your sin forever. And when you take that cross, when you take and receive that gift, your sin is paid for, and he makes you a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So trust in him. Go to that cross. Receive the gift of salvation. Turn from your sin and acknowledge that he died on that cross for your sin, and your sin is what nailed him to that cross. Admit that. That you're a sinner, that you need a savior, and call upon the name of the Lord today and be saved, and go to a church that preaches the word of God and get discipling people and be discipled by people.
Come on, Stu. It's not do, it's not don't. It is done, because we don't have to behave for him. We simply have to believe in him. And when we become followers and children of God, we are not made righteous. We are declared righteous because of the works of his perfect son, Jesus Christ. Stu, how I want to close, and I want to kind of end this entire interview with you. I once heard a pastor say that it matters not at all who other people say that Jesus is. Instead, it matters most who I say that Jesus is, because that very answer has the power to change everything. Stu, as I encourage and I challenge our listeners in this moment to reflect on that very question, who is Jesus to you? I want to leave you with the opportunity to share and answer that question for yourself. Who is Jesus to Stu Epperson Jr.?
Well, you know, the word Savior, the word Lord, the word Redeemer, all these things really, really came full circle to me because like you, you know, we're kind of sons of the pioneers. You know, we have these awesome dads, you know, my dad's in heaven. Your dad's still here getting us ready for heaven, you know, and I grew up in the whole church culture, man. I was when the church doors were open, I was there and I had it all on the outside and I had it all in the head. But I was, you know, only 18. I was 18 inches away from hell, you know, because I didn't have it in the heart. So Jesus Christ was theory to me. He was in my mind and I quoted scripture. I may have even led people to Christ as a super religious kid in the youth group. But it wasn't until mid-teen years, you know, somewhere there, you know, 14 and 15, that he became real, that I recognized, man, I am too good to go to heaven. I am not just unrighteous, I am self-righteous, like a lot of those Pharisees who say, hey, what do we need you for? And so Jesus Christ became real precious to me in that moment as the one who truly can satisfy, the one who truly, you know, he talks about being the bread of life. He talks about being the living water. By the way, we celebrate that in the communion, which is a huge celebration feast. The word Eucharist, which is also the word we use for communion, means thanksgiving. So I have a heart of thanksgiving because Jesus Christ became very, very real to me when the light came on. And I know a lot of people were praying it would, but I realized it's not, my worth is not found in what I do or don't, like we talked about a second ago. My worth is found in what he has done, that he really did die for me, that he really does love me, that he really can take all my sins and throw them in the sea of forgiveness as far as the east is from the west, so far as you remove your transgressions from you. Those scriptures became real, and Jesus Christ is real, and he is working in my life, and he is alive, and thank God for that. And so I thank him every day, and I walk with him, and I talk with him, and I love him, and I need him on my good days. I need him as much on my good days as I need him on my bad days. And you know what's crazy, Zach? I want to tell everybody about him. You can, you know, what does that shirt say? I saw in a gym once, guy working on his shirt says, if you meet me and forget me, you've lost nothing. If you meet Jesus and forget him, you've lost everything. So let's like one old preacher said, he said, I want to die and be forgotten, but I want everyone to meet Jesus because of my life and out of my death. And may that be our prayer, that we'd be consumed like John the Baptist. He was consumed with introducing people to Jesus Christ. Because if you follow Stu Epperson around too much, you're going to be even more messed up, right? But if I can get you to Jesus, everything will change because in his presence is fullness of joy. And he can meet that deepest need. He can heal that deepest addiction. He can set you free and he can bring forgiveness where you see there's the person you hate the most, that family member you're not even going to call this holiday season. Jesus Christ can bring healing and forgiveness in that relationship today.
Mm. Stu Epperson Jr., on behalf of all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we just want to thank you for just your passion that you bring to Jesus and sharing him with others. You are clearly unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you. We appreciate you, my friend. Happy Resurrection Day. He is risen. He is risen indeed. To all of our listeners, we come to you each week right here to bring you a word of hope and encouragement and help strengthen your life, love, and relationships with God and those close to you. Know that God loves you. And he is always there. You've been listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family with Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton. We love being a part of your life. For more information, visit timclinton.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.